Hey guys, Pastor Justin Dean here with a special announcement. May 10th and 11th, we are hosting a conference here at Sacred City Church with Dr. Glenn Sunshine as our keynote speaker. If you don't know who Dr. Glenn Sunshine is, he is professor of history at Central Connecticut State University, a senior fellow at the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. He's an award-winning author. He's published all kinds of different books and articles and even chapters in other books on history, theology, culture, all over the place. He's widely published. One of his books, one of his most recent books that I've read is called Slaying Leviathan. And it's about how limited government and resistance in the Christian tradition. And he's going to be speaking on this topic on Friday night, and then he's going to be moving on into how Christian resistance informed the Declaration of Independence on Saturday. Let me just read a little blurb from his book. It says, "Christians first expressed these political truths under Caesars, kings, popes, and emperors. We need them in the age of presidents. Leviathan is rising again, and the first weapon we must recover in the longstanding Christian tradition is resisting governmental overreach. Our bloated bureaucratic state would have been unrecognizable to the founders, and our acquiescence to its encroachments on liberty would have infuriated them. But here's the point. Our Leviathan would not have surprised them. They were well acquainted with the tendency of governments to turn tyrannical. Quote, eternal vigilance is the price we pay for liberty." So he's going to look at the Christian tradition, the Christian Protestant tradition that helped found our country, that sparked, you know, that was created during the Reformation, and it goes all the way into the Declaration of Independence. It's a truth that we need to get a hold of today as our state, our government, our bureaucracy is ever expanding, and we want to educate our people on Christian resistance to tyranny. And so we hope that you can make it out. You can email us at the church. There'll be links going out on Church Center. There'll be links going out on social media. You'll be finding those soon. But please block out your schedule, May 10th and 11th. We look forward to joining us here at Sacred City Church. Welcome to the Sacred City Live podcast. This is your host, Pastor Justin Dean. And this podcast is all about helping you follow Jesus in the everyday normal rhythms of life. I got two gentlemen with me on the podcast today. Guys, would you introduce yourselves?
How's it going, guys? Alex Tate, Sacred City Youth Director.
Kevin Knorr, Counseling Pastor.
All right. Well, welcome back to the podcast, guys. Hopefully you have been enjoying it and this has been a blessing to you. If it has, do what you do. Like, share, subscribe, all the things. What we want to do today is a little bit different than what we normally do. This podcast will be coming out a couple weeks after Easter. And in the second service on Easter, I mentioned that Joe Biden declared on Good Friday that Easter was effectively now the trans day of visibility. And apparently this trans day of visibility, because apparently they're not visible enough, which
so is that like letting them know to like come out of the closet, or what is that?
It's basically saying, I mean, this is what his tweet said, was, "We see you. I see you." Now, before I get into some complex philosophy here and what I think is actually going on, in one sense, I am majorly frustrated about this. I'm upset about this, the timing, all of it. I know it's been going on for 15 years, but our president of the United States to declare this through executive order on Good Friday is intentional, is purposeful. There's malice behind it. And it's demonic. That's what I said in the second service, that Satan is behind this. But if I could pull out 10,000 feet, it won't work. All right. Now, I think they've got ulterior motives, but trans day of vulnerability. right? Or trans day of visibility, not vulnerability. Yep. Trans day of visibility. I think the more visible trans people are, the more it works against the trans agenda.
Sure.
Because when we see them, 99.9% of the time,
they recoil.
We're like, yuck.
Yeah.
We're like, that's not a man. That's not a woman. That's a man trying to be a woman. That's a woman trying to be a man. Hmm. And we can trust our eyes, and we can trust our instincts, and we can trust the natural world, because God's natural world is undefeated, yeah. right? Like gravity, undefeated,
yep.
right? Physics, undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Biology, undefeated.
Yeah.
And so I think this could potentially backfire, but I think it was on Saturday or Sunday. It must have been Saturday, you know, Holy Saturday. I read a post, a tweet, or an X, whatever you call them, by a guy named James Lindsay. And James Lindsay is an atheist and not a follower of Jesus, but he's somewhat of an expert on Marxism, cultural Marxism, what we would call wokeism, all of the... So Marxism tries to look at humanity and basically divide them into the oppressed and oppressor, right?
Right.
And if you're oppressed, then you should be lifted up. You should be given special status in society. Your voice should be heard. And if you're the oppressor, you should be pulled down. You should be destroyed. You should be silenced, right? Now, this was Marx's view. And obviously, all it does is create a cycle of oppressor and oppression that just right. will go on forever. And so James Lindsay, he knows that, and he sees the world, and he sees that the LGBTQ plus and the cultural Marxists and the liberals are using this play, right? This is why everybody who is, you know, the more marginalized you are. Which the trans person has got to be the most marginalized person, because it's very small segment of the population. It's very strange. It goes against biology.
Yeah.
It's not appealing in any way to the normal person. And so, you know, and LGBT is the last, well, was the last one on that train. I know we got, you know, QI or whatever, and the plus sign. So this thing is going to keep going until they get pedophilia legalized and yep. normalized. That's the goal. But so that might be the only person that's more marginalized is the pedophile.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, they should be.
So the idea that we're going to make these, I mean, Biden puts out, I've got more trans people in my cabinet, in my administration than any, you know, commander in chief in history. As if that is like
something to brag about.
Something to brag about. Something good, you know. So that's what's going on. That's the dynamic that it's at play. And this man, who's not even a Christian, I want you to hear. We're going to work through this. It's kind of a long tweet. We're going to work through it because I think it's important. And this is why Christians now are being marginalized, we're being silenced, we're being ridiculed, we're being infiltrated even and try to destroy evangelical churches. And there could be, and I've been telling our church, the rest of this year, for sure, like the rest of 2024 is going to be chaos.
Yes.
Now, we don't have to be chaotic. We don't have to respond in chaos. We can keep that peaceful prophetic presence. We can remain sober-minded. But if you don't see the play that's being run against you, you won't be able to respond to it rightly.
Right.
Okay? And this guy, not a Christian, has got a pretty interesting take on the whole situation that I wanted to run it by all of us here and our listeners at home. Here is Lindsay's take. He says this, quote, I have a feeling this is going to go really bad for me, but it has to be said. The dynamic must be explained. Yesterday, on Good Friday, one of the high holy days of the Christian faith, The Biden administration proclaimed Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2024, specifically to be a trans day of visibility. The official White House press release page shows an Easter bunny by the White House, indicating that they are fully aware that they're making this proclamation specifically about Easter Sunday,
right,
even though Easter is not specifically mentioned in the proclamation. Continue quote, "This isn't just an insult to the Christian faith, and indeed an intolerable one that proclaims a form of embodied Gnostic theosophy," I'm going to define that, "that misleads and destroys kids." Let's just start there. So this isn't just an insult to the Christian faith, he says, and indeed an intolerable one that proclaims a form of embodied Gnostic theosophy that misleads and destroys kids. Those are some big words, okay? Embodied, we know what that means, okay? Gnostic, the Gnostics believe that there was some kind of higher knowledge that you could get to. Mm-hmm. That once you could reach this higher plane, and they really separated this physical world from kind of the spiritual world, mm-hmm, and theosophy. What was the definition of theosophy again, Kevin?
Yeah, it's essentially it's reincarnation, right? It's the belief that we can reach a higher level of enlightenment, and that death is a physical thing that we can transcend.
Okay, but what he's saying there is your body. So. Excuse me, wrong pipe there. Sorry. That your body doesn't tell you anything about yourself. The body's not real. You can reach a higher level of knowledge of yourself, and you can transform yourself.
Yeah.
You can become reincarnated.
Yeah, you can essentially become, conform yourself to your own image.
Yeah, which is what transgenderism is.
Yes.
First off, transgenderism is wrong on nearly everything. Like anthropology, they don't know what they are, they don't know who they are, they don't know where they come from, they don't know their telos, their goal, what they don't understand human beings and our nature. But it's also a false gospel.
Yes.
So we would say you're made in the image of God, male or female. There's no such thing as a male trapped in a woman's body. There's no such thing as I have a male brain in a woman's body, or I have a female brain in a man's body. There's no such thing as being internally woman. Mm-hmm. If you're not externally woman, right? We are embodied souls all the way down. Every female has a female soul, if we're going to put it that way. Every male has a male soul.
Yeah.
Now, sin can affect that. Sin can damage that. Sin can mar that. Mm-hmm. Not only sin that's, you know, in original sin that's already in us, but also in being sinned against.
So,
right?
if we are
molested, if we have a lost, you know, our father runs off on us, if we are in a chaotic home, if we are taught faulty philosophy and faulty anthropology from infancy, and we're not taught how a man is supposed to act and how a woman is supposed to act. So there's a lot of things that can cause confusion in a child, mm-hmm, if they're not raised in the way they should go. That could bring about this. But what the Christian gospel says is, yes, there's something wrong with you. It's called sin,
mm-hmm,
original sin, and then sin done against you,
mm-hmm,
and then also sin that you've committed in response.
Yep.
And the answer to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ,
right,
believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was raised again for your sins. He forgives all your sins, gives you the Holy Spirit, and when he ascends back to the Father, he sends you the Holy Spirit. And now from this point on, you are to crucify your flesh.
Mm.
That means your desires, your impulses, your sinful nature, you are to crucify it. And, you know, you were crucified with Christ and you were raised with Christ. And so from now on, every single day, you wake up and you crucify that flesh,
mm-hmm,
and you don't follow the ways of your flesh.
Yeah.
So for a transgender person, we would say, if it's a biological female, you are a female, mm-hmm, no matter how you feel, no matter what hormones you've taken, no matter what surgical procedures you've done, you are still a female. And if you accept Christ, all your sins will be forgiven. And from this moment on, you need to live as a woman and learn to live as a woman.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. Well, transgenderism gives a false gospel. Here's what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a woman trapped in a man's body.
Mm.
Well, that's not very good news. You're right. That's the bad news. What's the good news? The good news is the doctors can fix you. The doctors can fix you. Mm. They can give you male hormones, right? They can or cross-sex, they can give you cross-sex hormones. They can, you know, if you're a woman, they can cut off your breasts. If you're a man, they can cut off your penis. If you're a woman, they can take a huge part of your arm that will scar you for the rest of your life and create a fake penis that, you know, like that. And the gospel, there is no good news there. The good news is, and then here's everybody right after having surgery in the first, you know, few months. Oh, yes, I'm finally one. I'm finally who I'm supposed to be. Yeah. This Gnostic idea that I've had in my head of who I really am. Now, finally, my body matches up with who I think I am on the inside. Mm. The problem is to stay that way will require hormones, antibiotics, constant doctor's visits for the rest of their life. And it's all a lie. And suicide rates do not go down
right
after surgery. And so the way they're manipulating people are they're saying, I'm suicidal. I'll kill myself if I don't get this surgery. And this is what the trans day of visibility is all about. And that, in that sense, is we don't want these people to kill themselves. So we're going to make them really visible and put them up there. And in essence, what we're doing is a segment of the population that have got serious mental illnesses. Mm-hmm. We're going to give them whatever they want. We're going to put them front of stage on our nation's platform. Mm. Like, it's just crazy.
You know what's fascinating about all of this? As you were talking, I got thinking about the podcast we did with the Maurers on IVF, and they talked about how God's law, right, the way God has designed nature, remains undefeated. And so even in transgenderism, where they're trying to quote-unquote transcend the body they've been given, they still have to try to go outside of themselves. Like, they cannot do it in their own strength.
Right.
And so they're still reliant on something outside of themselves.
Yeah. So what do they get? If they follow their own philosophy, they get a marred and disfigured and destroyed and ugly body. That's what they get. Mm. They're going, and this is one of the realities of liberalism and the devil. He doesn't do beautiful things.
Yeah.
He does ugly things. He creates damage and chaos and ugliness.
Yeah.
Okay? And then they live for the rest of their life in turmoil and torment in a lot of ways, often ending their life early, and they go to hell. I mean, it's the devil's trick. Now listen, the gospel says a person can do all those things, cut off their body parts, do all that stuff, mar their body, come to Christ, follow Jesus the rest of their life, and they're very well, all of us fight sin. All of us are tormented by sin in some way. Even though Christ has given us victory over it, we know the devil still tempts us and tortures us and gives bad thoughts and all kind of things. So it's a battle. It's going to be the battle for the rest of their life. But when they die, right, they will go to heaven with God. If they give their life to Christ, they will go to heaven with God. And what is Jesus going to do when he comes back again? He's going to recreate the world and give them a new body.
Yeah.
So he's going to give them the wholeness, the fullness that they're looking for. Only Jesus has the ability to fix, to heal a trans person.
Yeah.
All right? And this ideology that's destroying the lives of adults, this administration is trying to push for children.
Yeah.
The most vulnerable among us.
So when you spoke a little bit to mental health, I mean, I when we talk about this, it's evident that this is there, right? But where'd the switch happen? I feel like before, when mental health happened, we would, you know, try to help them in all type of different ways that was not promoting this.
Right.
So where'd the switch happen to now this is what we're going to promote? Mental health, you know, people that are, you know, can't figure out who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's we've been on the track for a long time. We've been on this train for a long time, and it's this victimizer mentality, this Marxist mentality, and the LGBTQ plus agenda from the beginning is to use. So the LGBTQ plus agenda from the very beginning was to use the civil rights movement as an example of how to get America to accept them, right? And in order to do that, they needed to make themselves victims. Right, they need to make themselves the victim. We're marginalized. We've been victimized. You know, all this kind of stuff, and it seems to be, quote unquote, winning in some ways.
Yeah, and so from like the counseling perspective, you guys don't necessarily know, these things were categorized as truly mental health
and the DSM-5 or something like that.
2013, yeah, 2013, if you want to put a date on it, is when they rose up and petitioned and had it removed.
So in the psychiatric manual, homosexuality was deemed a mental illness.
Yeah.
Right? And all these other things, mental illness.
For four iterations.
Yeah, and it's and then what do they do? Once these things start getting normalized and accepted, and Hollywood and all these different people want to start pushing it, then they change the medical textbooks.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. But let me go on here. Okay, yeah. Back to the quote. Quote: "It is entirely consistent with woke theosophy, as I've discussed elsewhere, and may attach here as a thread. But it is more than that. It is also a deliberate provocation against Christians that must be understood." So he's saying this is going along with the woke agenda, this woke ideology, or this woke ideology that says you are not your body, don't listen to your biology, you are something more than that, you can transcend your biology.
Yeah.
He says, yes, that's going on with this, but it's more than that. It's also a deliberate provocation against Christians that must be understood.
Yeah.
So Christians, what Joe Biden did on Good Friday was purposefully meant to provoke us.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to get into this. Listen to this. A key principle of woke activism is, quote, your target's reaction is your real action. Your target's reaction is your real action. Mm-hmm. In other words, I want you to do something.
Yeah.
So I will say, do whatever I need to do in order to get you to do something. Yep. My goal is to get you to do something. So I'm not really honoring, this is what he's going to say here. I'm not really honoring trans people here. I don't really care about trans people here. I don't really care. What I want is I want to provoke Christians.
Yeah.
This is a key principle of woke activism. This derives, quote, from Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and has been codified in the updated activism manual called Beautiful Trouble. So you can look this up online, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, or the activism manual called Beautiful Trouble. They do these provocations intentionally, as I have discussed at length in the past, as a means of stoking a reaction that they can use to their advantage, right?
Yeah, so we talked about this years ago with the After School Satan Club, right? We did that podcast, and you said that it's all a front, right? They don't care about this club. The Satanic Temple is trying to evoke a reaction from Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can get up to revoke our First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
That's the goal. All right. Listen to this. He goes on. On the reactionary side at present, it must be indicated that there are multiple overlapping active measures to drag faithful Christians into reactionary stances. So he's saying there's multiple things going on, and all of them are coming together for one purpose, and that is to get Christians, faithful Christians, to react or to be reactionary. Yep. Now, we've talked about this. We don't want to be reactionary. We want to respond,
yep,
right? And so this is, but they're doing such offensive things that it's hard not to get reactionary, right? Here's how he ties it together. Quote, one of the things they're doing is the prevailing, quote, Operation Christian Nationalism, which this same administration is framing as one of the most dangerous threats to democracy in the world today. So one of the things they're trying to do is say, these crazy Christians are trying to take away your rights. Every single ad we're hearing from Joe Biden right now is aimed specifically towards women who want to be able to kill children in their womb. Every single one of them. Donald Trump's trying to take away your right to an abortion, right? And they're going to tie that to Christian nationalism, that Christian nationalists are the bad guys in this country.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, and that even targets some of the language in that order you were referencing from the Biden administration. I just want to read this. It says, quote, but extremists, Christians, Christian nationalists, are proposing hundreds of hateful laws that target and terrify transgender kids and their families, silencing teachers, banning books, and even threatening parents, doctors, and nurses with prison for helping parents get, quote, care for their children.
Yeah. That right there is a demonic sentence.
Amen.
Doctors that are cutting off the genitals of children who haven't even been through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Irreversible things.
Yeah. Yeah,
he crazy. Calls that gender care.
Yeah.
Right? And
it hateful to block that.
And extremists.
Yeah.
If you are a Christian, you are an extremist. This president labels you an extremist. Okay? So this atheist here that's telling us this, he's saying the only reason they're doing this, they don't care about trans kids. They don't care about trans people.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a trans kid,
yeah.
Right? They're kids who are confused. That what they're doing that is to provoke a reaction from the Christians.
100%.
All right? We're the most dangerous threat to democracy, okay? Another, now listen, here he goes on, quote, another is the more local and specific radicalization attempt during Holy Week that follows the Christian rhetoric of, quote, Christ is King, which has been successfully tied to an anti-Semitic trope and active measures meant to drive a wedge between Christian and Jews and Christians and Christians. So if you were not aware of this, a couple weeks back, there are some white supremacists who tried to co-opt this language of Christ as King to use it in anti-Semitic ways, to basically say, they hate Jews, and they're saying Christ is King as kind of a stick in their eye, right? Like, yeah. As a stick in their eye. Now, when somebody tells me that I can't say Christ is King because it's anti-Semitic, what's it going to make me do?
Say it.
I'm going to say it louder. Christ mm-hmm. is King. Now that, in one sense, it's not a big deal for me because I say it all the time,
right?
I say it all the time. I believe it. I tweet it all the time. But if a Jewish person sees my tweet and thinks that I'm anti-Semitic because I said that, that drives a separation. It could drive a separation between, me and him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Christians and Jews,
yeah,
right? Or Christians and other Christians, because some Christians are they're called Zionist Christians. They believe that there's a lot of prophecies still yet for Israel to fulfill. And Israel is still God's quote-unquote chosen people, and God's going to bring a great revival in Israel, and so we should be really involved in Israel, and we should be really pro-Israel. That's called being a philo-Semitic. Love Jews rather than anti-Semitic, sure. Right? There's some people that are very pro-Israel. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I think the Old Testament Jews and the Old Testament religion is done. With 80, 70 and the destruction of the temple, they no longer can offer sacrifices. So I think that Old Testament Israel is over. And what we have now in Israel is something totally different, even though they're in the same geographic location. Now, I could be wrong on that, and God might still do, he might still have some promises that need to be fulfilled to Israel, but in the book of Acts, the book of Romans, that I think Israel is the people of God, which is the church. No, Israel has not replaced, church has not replaced, they fulfilled. It's the fulfillment. So
yeah.
Israelites and, Russians and Americans all come into the same body of Christ, but only through Jesus, right? So what he's saying here is this administration is running a play on mm-hmm. the Christians.
Yeah.
The first one is to get us to react on Easter,
mm-hmm.
right, to him making it the trans day of visibility. The second one is this Christ is King trope that is wanting to divide people that used to be kind of allied
mm-hmm.
in the United States.
Yep.
And that's Jews and Christians and other Christians, right?
Yep.
All right. So this is what he says, quote, this provocation published yesterday is overwhelmingly likely aiming to feed into those prevailing active measures, or ops, as he calls them, meant to drag Christians into a position of fruitful reaction that the regime can use to clamp down on them.
Mm.
So the goal is to get Christians, I'll just say it like this. The goal is to get Christians to do something dumb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Trans Day of Visibility, and how many transgender shooters have there been in the past year? I think in the past 2 years, I think there's been 9 or something like that.
Yeah,
nine mass shooters. I was like, is that who you're wanting to look at? We want to be visible, those 9 transgender people that have shot up schools and stuff. So what it's meant to put us in a reactionary stance where some Christians might go too far and might overreact and might do something dumb.
Yeah.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
Like horrible, that would not be Christian to do. So that we can be, so, or another January 6th. Mm-hmm. Like another January 6th.
Yeah.
January 6th was a provocation, you know? Mm-hmm. And the goal was to get the reaction.
Yeah.
And throwing people in jail and doing all kind of horrible and crazy things. And if we had another January 6th, this administration would use that as an example of all Christians.
Yeah.
And we would all be labeled as those crazy people or those radicals, and then they would clamp down on us, take away freedoms, and we would end up being in a really bad spot.
Are you saying that they were Christians, the January 6th people?
There were some, for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They literally had signs. They were, and so there were some Christians there that were tricked into being there and didn't know what was going to happen, and they were just, you know, peacefully there, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Again, quote, again, Christian reaction is their real action. And we know for certain that Christian circles are deeply infiltrated with the chest beating and growing radicalism that is being baited toward and associated with a growing anti-Semitism. The responses to this post will almost certainly prove this out, by the way. Your evil government wants this to happen. They are baiting you into it.
Yeah.
Right? So they want kind of, you know, Christians to become anti-Semites.
Yeah.
Because we say Christ is king, and these guys say they don't want to say it or whatever. And this, I just found this post fascinating because this is an atheist here, and he's seeing the play being run. And this is what he says. He asks the question, what should you do? He says, quote, you should cleave to your faith with wisdom and discernment. You should celebrate your Christianity as loudly and publicly as you want, and you should do so aware that a reaction is being solicited from you. He said, pray for those caught up in the trans cult. Make your prayers visible. Welcome them to healing and communion, even if they're not ready to take it. Likewise, pray for these evil leaders that they repent of this wickedness. Pray also for those professing Christianity but not practicing it. So there are many in the Christian nationalism movement that aren't actually Christians.
Right. Are we sure this guy's not a Christian? Because he's talking like God's about to use his man. God's about to use his man.
Now listen, this is interesting.
Not far from the king.
Richard Dawkins is a prominent atheist. He has been called one of the new atheists.
Mm.
He wrote a book in the 90s, I think, called The God Delusion. And in that book, he said horrible things about Christians and horrible things about Christianity. He said, you know, that it's all a fairy tale, it's all a myth, it's not good for society. Religion should be banished from the planet. I mean, he just went on and on and on, okay? Yesterday, I watched a video of him, and his country, he's British, his country just officially announced and celebrated Ramadan, which is the most, you know, high holy days of Islam. And he was appalled by it. And he said, I cannot believe we did this. He said, Islam is not a, he minced his words. He said something, it's not a good religion. It's not a beneficial religion. It's not good for society, you know? And he's like, and then he says this, he says, I'm not a believer, but I'm what you call a cultural Christian.
Really?
I'm a cultural Christian.
Wow. What do you mean by that?
He says, I love hymns. I love Christmas hymns. Really? I love Christmas holidays. I find myself at home in a Christian culture. Now, this is fascinating because Christians have been saying this for like 30 years, that being a man of science, right, only happens in a Christian culture. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen in a Muslim culture, right? Mm-hmm. They don't believe in it. We do. We believe that there's wisdom behind the world. We believe there's rationality behind the world. We believe that God gave us a world to study and to use the sciences, right? And so this guy, here's the hypocrisy, though. Mm-hmm. This guy who wrote a book and made millions off of destroying the Christian civilization that he was a part of, now looks back on the wake of Islam, you know, rushing into his country and his culture being torn away. He looks back and says, no, no, no. It's like this. A man who hacked at the root of the tree now complains that the apples are going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And so there are many people who are cultural Christians. Mm. And they're going to be in the Christian nationalism camp. They're going to be in, you know, religious liberty camp. They're going to be in the you know, pro-Second Amendment camp, pro-First Amendment camp. They're cultural Christians. And these folks, they're not born-again Christians, right? Mm-hmm. And they might do stupid stuff. I think more than likely, the majority of the people at January 6th, they were cultural Christians, right? And so I think this you know, this dude here, James Lindsay, knows that, and he's warning cultural Christians, don't do something dumb.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't go on some anti-Semitic rant. Don't go shoot up some synagogue. Don't go blow up a trans clinic. Don't go, you know, because this is what's demonic. The regime, the current regime wants that to happen.
Yeah.
If they, I believe right now they're losing the battle on the transgender issue, because it goes against nature. Parents don't want to see a male in a female's bathroom. Teenager, you know, it's just, I think they're losing this battle. Okay. But how are they going to make it happen? If some cultural Christian does something dumb as a reaction to this, as a reaction to Trans Day of Visibility, or a reaction to the Christ is King hoopla that's going on. If a cultural Christian reacts in a negative way, then they can go, look, see, that's what Christians believe. Mm-hmm. Mm. They hate democracy. Mm-hmm. They hate our country. And then they can clamp down and take away our rights.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, yeah, so, I was like, goodness gracious, this atheist is giving us, he's showing us their playbook, and he's honestly telling us what we should do, and he's pretty much biblical in his application. What should we do? We should pray. We should worship. We should be vocal about our faith. We should not give an inch to the trans cult.
Yeah.
We should speak the truth loud on social media and everywhere that we can, and we should not be provoked into a reactionary stance. We shouldn't do anything dumb. Right?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be baited into anything. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Yeah. Any other thoughts from you guys on this?
Man, it's just cool. In this, one last line, he says, pray for those professing Christianity but not practicing it, seeking to lead Christians into error from within, that they repent and find forgiveness, peace, strength, and ultimately faith. Mm. This dude's not far from the kingdom. pray for this guy among these guys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Listen, I once said, Christendom is being destroyed, good riddance. I was reading some bad historians.
Sure.
And they were basically claiming that the Enlightenment had kind of conquered Christianity and mixed, and from the beginning of our country, it was more of the Enlightenment that was doing it. And I was reading these historians, and I was thinking, man, we never had a Christian country. And that's kind of the argument they've made. And then I've read a whole lot more historians since then, and I've read more of the original source material, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The founders in their own words. And I'm seeing them quote scripture one after the other after the other, and I'm like, this guy was wrong. And then I'm going back to the 16th century and reading reformers and the Scottish reformers and the 15th century and 16th century and I'm like, man, no, Christendom was a good thing. And then obviously we're working through Defenders of the West. And yeah. I've listened to several different lectures on it. And Christendom was a good thing. Christendom promoted life. It promoted liberty. It promoted personal property. And those are all gifts that God gives every single person. Every single person has a right to those. And so a Christian nation is the best nation for all people to exist in. So that's kind of fascinating. But only in a Christian nation do you get enough religious freedom for individuals to worship how they want to worship. Now, in some forms of a Christian nation, they might not be able to worship publicly together, but they can worship privately, because Christianity believes that worship primarily is first an act of the conscience, and the conscience can't be forced, right? The conscience must remain free. And so in the society that we have today that's moving more towards religious pluralism, they're only going to allow religions that serve their purposes. And if Christianity remains anti-abortion, because we are pro-life, if we remain pro-family, because we are, if we remain, you know, pro-heterosexual union, because that's the only marriage that exists, the regime is against Christianity. And they'll see Christianity as a threat, and they'll look for ways to provoke us so they can crush us and stamp us out. And so that's what I think is going on right now.
Yeah.
I think Biden is losing in every single poll, and I think he's running a play in order to get cultural Christians to do something stupid that could win him the election. The only chance Biden has on winning the election right now is women who want to be able to abort babies. In every poll on every significant issue except abortion, he's way behind Trump right now. When it comes to immigration, it comes to the economy, you know, down, the wars are going on, all different things, he's losing. The one area he's winning, abortion. And that's why he's doubling down on abortion right now. So don't take the bait, folks. You got any thoughts, got any questions, you can email me, justindean@sacredcitychurch.com. We love you. We're praying for you. God bless.